KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:03, it's mostly clear and 20 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Topping local news, Atlantic Police Chief Steve Green said yesterday a student from the Atlantic Middle School is in custody of juvenile authorities for allegedly making a bomb threat that forced the evacuation of the middle school and cancellation of the classes on Thursday. Green says his department received notice about the threat just before 11 a.m. He says a message threatened that an explosive event would take place at the middle school at a specific time. The state fire marshal's office was contacted and it was determined the threat was not credible. Students and staff, meanwhile, were evacuated next door to the Nation of Valley YMCA. The building was searched and no bomb was found. Green said with the help of the Cass County Sheriff's Department, a suspect was identified and approached. He said the suspect ran but was later found at his home and brought in for questioning. Green said that 12-year-old Austin Koma Mualia of Atlantic admitted the threat was not credible. The young man was charged with terrorism, a Class B felony. Police chief says he has some thoughts on how similar future incidents might be prevented.
When somebody disrupts the school system like that, that perhaps they make up the classes on a Saturday or something, and perhaps it'll become a less popular procedure to put in bomb threats.
He says also he hopes if the district does institute a policy to hold school on Saturdays to make up for any threats, peer pressure will serve to prevent future incidents. Atlantic School District Superintendent Dr. Mike Amstein said aside from the legal ramifications of making a terror threat, the student faces severe disciplinary action from the school district itself.
Any type of behavior like this is a pretty severe violation of the board policies, and you know, the board has the authority to go ahead and suspend or expel a student for an entire school year. That's 365 days.
Amstein says the threat happened during the lunch hour, which disrupted classes and the lunch period, but the evacuation went as planned.
The Y has been very gracious as far as being an evacuation point, and I think it went pretty smooth. That the kids, you know, went over in orderly fashion. Each one of the teachers takes their grade books and their attendance, so we make sure that all of our kids are accounted for.
Some questions were raised as to why the Washington Elementary School, which is just up the hill from the middle school, was not evacuated, and Amstein said they based their evacuation on recommendations from the State Fire Marshal's Office and Atlantic Police Chief Steve Green. The classes will resume today at the school.
We'll make an announcement if there's any change of classes, but at this point we do not intend or we don't have any reason to go ahead and alter classes.
News time is 8:06.
Noise is one of the most common causes of hearing loss and one of the most common occupational illnesses in the United States. This is audiologist Doug Leonard from ASI. It only takes a single gunshot to permanently damage your hearing. It's just that quick. Repeated workplace exposure to loud equipment can also impair your hearing. My challenge to you is to protect your hearing with these simple tips. At home, turn down the volume of the television, radio, stereo, and iPods. When using loud equipment at home, such as lawnmowers, leaf blowers, and string trimmers, wear hearing protection. And at work, use hearing protection even for brief noise exposure, such as impact wrenches or nail guns. Foam plugs, ear muffs, or better yet, custom molded hearing protection from ASI can all be effective. Because good hearing is so critical, make sure that your family and friends are aware of the hazards of noise exposure. Protect the hearing that you have now. Call ASI today, and together we will determine the best way to protect your hearing. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
A little more than a dozen people attended Thursday night's candidates forum here in Atlantic. Those who spoke and answered questions at the event, which was sponsored by the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce, included all five candidates for a vacancy position created by the death in August of Cass County Supervisor Chuck Keenan, two candidates for open positions on the Atlantic Parks and Recreation Board of Directors, and candidates for the Atlantic City Council. Each of those candidates were asked their opinion on the current property tax rates in the county. All of the candidates said that taxes are neither too high or too low, with the exception of Supervisor candidate Pat McCurdy. McCurdy, a lifelong resident of Cass County who farmed for over 40 years before becoming semi-retired and a landlord of rental properties, said that commercial property taxes are too high.
Commercial property is taxed at 100% valuation. Houses are about 50%, and houses should not be any higher. They do not generate any income. I think they're about right. Commercial property tax in Atlantic, Iowa is too high. I won't say. I think it's too low.
The two Atlantic City Council candidates were asked what their top goals would be if elected to fill the two open seats on the council. Chris Jimerson, who is running unopposed for Councilman Kern Miller's first ward seat, said that keeping the recreational areas, such as parks, up to date are important to him.
Also, all the road construction, keeping Atlantic looking nice. We've got a lot of that ahead. I'd like to see that continue. I'd like to also see our downtown grow and become more of a community hub where you can go shopping.
Ashley Hayes, who was unopposed in her bid for Councilperson Pat Simmons' third ward Atlantic City Council seat, says as a young person, she wants to make sure that opportunities are available for young people and their families.
Ways to do that would be improving our recreation departments, also bringing in businesses or jobs, and promoting our downtown community as well.
Each of the Board of Supervisor candidates said their main priorities, if elected, would be to keep the budget under control while trying to maintain the essential services, such as mental health care. Don Lappy, who has served in local law enforcement for more than 40 years, said he understands what it would mean to lose the behavioral health unit at the Cass County Memorial Hospital if that should fall to the Budget Act.
It's going to cause a burden, a trickle-down theory that's going to take place. It's going to affect other agencies as well within the county, including the Sheriff's Department, who has to transport those people, time, money. The county has to pick it up somewhere, and it costs us money.
Supervisor candidate Jeff Richter said he would work to bring jobs to the county to keep people here instead of having them drive out of the county for employment. A crowd of about 75 people attended a meeting earlier this week in Walnut to discuss the future of that district's athletic and academic programs. Superintendent Jim Hamrick told KJAN News that school administrators discussed with parents of the district on Wednesday night why they have the current sharing agreements with area schools, current curriculum and transportation issues, along with declining enrollment. Last year, the district's certified enrollment was 200, but the actual number of students served was 170. Hamrick says this year, the actual number was about 145.
Our last 10 years of our enrollment process, and we've been down double digits for the last 6 years, and again, this year we're down 20 some, so it's just a big concern that the board has, and we wanted to express that to the parents that we have an issue there, and of course that amounts to dollars.
Hamrick says the school board wanted to get input from the public at Wednesday's meeting to determine what they should do for the next 5 years, especially with regard to the sharing of athletic programs. He said the parents were most concerned about a lack of plan. He said they want a plan in writing, and other meetings have been held over the past years on a plan, but nothing has been set in stone, and the parents want that to change. Hamrick says the future of sharing both academics and athletic programs with neighboring school districts AHST and Atlantic will be determined after the Walnut School Board meets next week with both of those districts' boards of education.
We want to make a decision, if at all possible, either into this month or first of next month, so that we, you know, as a board, I think the board wants to have that plan and to say, okay, we're going to go this way, and we're going to do it this way. We're going to share athletics, but, you know, just the whole plan, and, you know, not just academics, but athletics too, in whatever capacity. Because right now we're kind of split. We send some high school athletics to Atlantic, some to junior high to Boca. I mean, it's just two piecemeal. So, I mean, it's just not working well to have everything split up. So it's hard on the kids and hard on the parents to be, you know, be in a game in Atlantic and be back over to Boca. I mean, it's just too difficult.
The meeting with the Atlantic School Board in Atlantic takes place at 6 p.m. Monday, November 7th. A meeting with the AHST School Board will be the next day in Avoca, beginning at 7 p.m. Hamrick says the Walnut School Board hopes to make a decision on which district they will commit to by their meeting on November 21st or no later than December the 1st. Sharing arrangements between the districts are nothing new, and Hamrick says in some cases the experiments haven't always produced the best results.
They did share with Avoca 6 or 7 years ago for a year, and that didn't go well, I understand, for whatever reasons, and that precipitated the move to Atlantic, and they've been sharing with Atlantic, you know, sending kids over there for 4 or 5 years now. And
uncertainty over which district Walnut should eventually share with, according to Hamrick, has contributed to a large decline in open enrollments in his district on a yearly basis. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the latest jobless numbers show a slowdown in hiring. The government says the economy added 80,000 jobs in October, the fewest in 4 months, but it was enough to bring the unemployment rate down to 9%. It had been 9.1%. And the world's 20 leading economies have agreed to increase the International Monetary Fund's resources, but they haven't decided how to do it. World leaders at the G20 summit in France have been scrambling for ways to help Europe contain its raging debt crisis. News time is 8:13.
Did you know that familiar sound can take a toll on your hearing, especially if you've been farming for any length of time? You can't reverse hearing loss caused by noise, but you can improve your ability to hear your loved ones again. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. I know you're busy now, but if hearing those around you has become a problem, schedule your evaluation today. It only takes about a half hour, it isn't painful, and the potential stress, frustration, and miscommunication with your family and friends can be avoided. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In our funeral announcements, Diana Glenn, age 54, of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday at her home. Funeral services for Diana Glenn will be today at 3 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Earl Kirchhoff, age 82, of Templeton, died Tuesday at Manning Regional Health Care Center. A massive Christian burial service for Earl Kirchhoff will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Templeton, with the Odie Funeral Home of Manning in charge of arrangements. Carolyn Ullman, age 80, of Adair, died Tuesday at her home. Funeral services for Carolyn Ullman will be Saturday at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has the arrangements. Dale Fazell, age 84, of Bridgewater, died last Friday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Celebration of Life services for Dale Fazell will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. Ruby Ann Crawley, age 76, of Audubon, died Saturday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Ruby Crawley will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Sandra Wilkinson, age 71, of Panora, died Sunday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Sandra Wilkinson will be held tomorrow at 3 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Kenneth Beener Inken, age 79, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospice Center. Services for Kenneth Inken will be held on Monday at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. And Dorothy Lucille Liddell, age 94, of Harlan, died Wednesday at the Elmcrest Retirement Home in Harlan. Funeral services for Dorothy Liddell will be held on November the 11th at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. And that's at 11 a.m. on the 11th. Our news brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen for KJAN News.